Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey and Answer Connect. All right, geeks, the comeback of a lifetime continues, and every week we're chatting with franchise folks, marketing folks. Today we have someone who is sort of crossing those boundaries. It's Derek Abelman. He's the marketing manager at Northeast Color, and he joins us on Social Geek right now. Hey, Derek, how are you?
Hey, Jack, I'm well. Thank you for having us. Or me.
Well, I'm well, you've got the whole team there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're listening right now. So let's not disappoint. Before we get into today's topic of how some franchise brands are sort of dealing with, what are we calling this? The year of Zoom, I think.
Yes.
Year of the Zoom video. Before we get into that, I want to learn a little bit more about your backstory. Tell us about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have an extensive background in publishing and fashion, and it's unique that I find myself in this position because at first glance, it doesn't necessarily fit with those two different industries, but...
You know, everybody in franchising has a fashion background.
So. Yeah. Well, that may be rarer, but what I found so far talking to people in the franchise industry is they all got here from somewhere else, and it's everyone has a funny story about how they landed where they are, particularly within, you know, franchising. And my background in publishing, it stretches from freelance writing to archival work for news programs. I worked for a number of years for Random House Penguin, which has under it a ton of different imprints, Vintage, Doubleday, Knopf, all of these different content pieces or streams that they produce, and I was involved in all of that. Sort of, I had a position where, as a reader for the digital division, I was reading and working on titles from all of these different sort of imprints and different styles of storytelling. So I got this incredible view into all of these different worlds within this single building and single company.
And do you still read a lot? I'm always curious about people who were in that world and then they're kind of out of it. Do you find yourself reading a lot more than the typical person just because that was a habit you started early in life?
Well, yes. Yeah. I mean, I would have to say it's a little bit different now because as opposed to then, I now have a daughter and my life is full in ways I hadn't expected it to, which is glorious. But I'm still an avid reader. I really can't tell you how unique that feeling is now, especially since we spend so much time on digital media and our attention is so divided, I think, between different devices and different content streams and different responsibilities, that to stop and take the moment to read a book is really a sort of, I think, a unique level of cognition. There's a small, quiet, but very powerful voice that I think that you can hear when you're reading in your mind. And it's different than reading an article. It's different than reading a tweet. And so I think that it's a very, I think, nourishing thing to do. I don't do it as much as I would like to, but I really think it's a valuable thing.
Yeah, definitely healthier than reading nothing but Twitter and politically charged social media posts. So
it's the perfect time to read a 17th century epistolary novel about nuns who are angry with each other. There's never been a better time.
What's the name of that book? I want to jot that down.
It's Eloise is the main character, but yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so publishing world, fashion. And then help me connect the dots into marketing and franchising.
Yeah. Well, so just I'll just skip real quickly through the fashion thing. I worked for a bespoke suit company, so we would make custom suits for each client. Every suit that we made was had never been made before. It was all tailored precisely to someone's body. So, and I did that for about 4 years, running their marketing and CEO of this COO, excuse me, of the company where, you know, I made the trains run on time and made sure the orders were delivered and alterations were taken care of, things like that. But the real value there for me and the way that it applies is I really got to know each one of our clients and working with our tailors and really understanding the process of how to talk to someone about how they feel about themselves and how they feel about themselves in the world and how they're going to be perceived. That conversation is exactly the same conversation that Northeast Color has with the brands that we work with today in the franchise industry. Without jumping too hard into that ability to really like listen to someone, not wait to respond, but to really listen to them about who they are and how they want to look and how you can help them do that. That skill is invaluable and did more than just help me in business. It helped me in life, I think, significantly. And that really is a part of what we do at Northeast Color when we're talking about helping bring people's brands into the physical world. So that I think was the big through line for me there. How I ended up
of really listening with the intent. Mm-hmm. I think 90% of the conversations that I get involved in these days, especially over, video calls and things mm-hmm. like that. Yeah. It's someone listening without the intent of understanding, but listening with the intent of responding. Yes. Or one-upping the other person or, you know, something like that. And I think any good marketer out there, it really starts with listening to what the customer, the industry, whomever, really what they're trying to get across to you.
I couldn't agree with you more, Jack. And from a business standpoint, you're totally right, especially in a competitive sort of business culture where you have hierarchy and people, you know, trying to deliver certain results by certain times. But I think within our larger culture, we could stand for some of that as well. I think that if we did more listening as a culture, and I think we're in a moment with that right now,
yeah.
Particularly, you know, in America. And I would really like to see some of that positive influence of really taking that time to listen to the other person. I think that would be invaluable moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. So two tips so far from this podcast, folks, read a book and listen with the intent of understanding. Derek, I think our work here is done today.
Yes. Bye-bye. Yeah. Yeah. If we keep going, I don't know what we're going to do. We're just going to future-proof the planet. That's just going to
one step at a time. Let's work on future-proofing franchising first.
Yeah. Yes.
Tell me a little bit more about Northeast Color, because I think when I first discovered Northeast Color, not too long ago, a couple of years ago, I had this sort of image in my head that it was a sign shop. Mm-hmm. And recently, I've been seeing a lot of the things that you guys are talking about out there, and it's so not a sign shop, right? Tell me about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for making that note. So we'll go kind of quick from the top here so we can get to that question. But yeah, so basically the company line here is that Northeast Color produces branded interiors for the franchise industry. That's mm-hmm. the card. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that we work with our clients, which are franchisors at the corporate level, to really determine all of the branded elements that need to go into a location to make that location represent the brand. And so to do that, we look at all of these different elements, such as branded wall covering, illuminated logos, yes, signage for sure, digital signage platforms, all of these different things that come together that create that sense of the brand in the physical space, so that you know when you walk into a Zips Dry Cleaners or a Huntington Learning Center or a Planet Fitness, you know precisely where you are and you have the feeling of belonging to that brand, however that brand has defined it. And so that really is our work. Now, I say this all the time, so forgive me for, you know, pulling out an old joke, but I'm not a sign salesman. I'm not a wall covering salesman. I don't sell logos. I produce and develop solutions. Mm-hmm. Those things, those signs, the wall covering, those are our tools, really. That's how we help deliver the brand in the physical space. And it doesn't fit for, one solution may not fit for another client. So every time we're working with a new client, we have all these tricks up our sleeve. We have all of this knowledge and ability of how to take that idea that you have about your brand and bring it into the world. But I'm not going to drive you towards a solution that I have sitting on my shelf, because I don't have anything sitting on my shelf that we didn't already discuss and create just for you. I don't have a lot of widgets I'm trying to get rid of. You know what I mean? It is literally from the ground up a solution totally tailored to that client. And by the way, it covers more than just, you know, coming up with the signs and developing the product. What we do when we work with our franchisor clients at the corporate level is we sit down, we have that conversation, we identify what that package is that needs to go in every one of their locations. And then we begin to go about the work of putting that package together, and we volume price it according to your yearly goals or quarterly goals to open or retrofit. And we volume price based on the amount of product you're going to need. And that's how we get someone the best price. Thereafter, our customer service takes over. And once we've identified that product set, that suite of signage, we reach out to your franchisees. We are proactive. We take everything off of their plate. And when we touch base with them, it's to the tune of, hey, I know you're opening a new location in 2 months or 4 weeks, whatever is right, because there's different sort of timelines within that ramp up. You know, a trampoline park is not the same as a dry cleaning establishment. So the build out is different. And we take all of that correspondence with the GC and with all of the vendors and the installers, that's all off the franchisee's plate. So when the franchisee hears from us, we need a couple key pieces of information. We launch production, we kit, ship, and install. So we take everything under our wing. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of project management, so that essentially what we want to be is this one-stop shop that exclusively focuses on that branded, those branded elements and how we can help deliver for the franchisee and the franchisor. It's been surprising to see how happy and thankful people are for that. I'm like, whoa, right. But just the enthusiasm for this as a solution, because if you're opening a location or you're retrofitting, there's so much on your plate. There's so much on your mind. And now you got to go chase down signs.
Yeah.
Or now you got to, like, installing wall covering is tricky. You know what I mean? Like, right. There's an art to that. So that's kind of a big piece of what we do. That's the company line. And we can branch off and talk a little bit about, you know, how that's not a sign shop in other ways. But I would say that is my elevator pitch to you, sir.
So my next question was going to be, why do you do it that way instead mm-hmm. of just being basically a sign shop? But it seems to me now more than ever, and I want to get into, you know, kind of what's happening here in 2020. Mm-hmm. It seems to me now more than ever, someone just isn't going to have the time to deal with everything inside a new location, or maybe it's a location that's being rebranded or remodeled or whatever. Mm-hmm. And being more than just a place to get stuff printed is I think the only way that you can grow in this crazy era of we want someone basically just to outsource this entire solution, not just mm-hmm. get something printed. Do I have that right?
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. There's a lot to consider and think about. And I think that particularly in this moment, which we can get into, you know, honestly, I don't feel like brands need signs. A location doesn't necessarily need a sign. What they need is a strategy. Mm-hmm. They need a plan. They need an approach. And you know, we could talk infinitely about branding, and there's lots of like fuzzy, fluffy things we could say about it. But at heart, to me, branding is an intangible feeling that a client or a customer has when interacting with an entity, a business, essentially. And it's all of these intangible things that is more than the sign, but it affects that, like the color of the location, the cleanliness of the location, all of the ways that that your client is going to interact with your staff. And that in and of itself is a very delicate thing that is really saturated in different sort of, trust moments. Like your client is, you're asking your client to trust you on so many different levels, in so many different ways, in an environment where there may not even be a pandemic. Like that's just normal life. But now that we're living in the era of COVID-19, all of those elements of trust, all of those elements of your brand are now elevated significantly. We're experiencing, I think it's safe to say, there is some confusion and some tension between state, local, and federal, you know, guidelines about how to run your business, how to make your business safe. And according to our research and talking to our clients, this is something that the brands can take a real strong role in, and that the public is actually going to be looking to brands to make their safe space, or to make their space safe.
Is that the biggest change you've seen in the past, let's say 5 to 6 months at this point?
That
trust factor needs to be built up inside a location?
Yes. Yeah, precisely. And that is a huge element. And I saw it happening during, you know, the first shutdown, when a lot of concepts, fitness concepts especially, were transitioning to online classes. We're looking for ways to continue to engage their membership and help them through this time. And that, you know, whether that was motivated by bottom line or that was motivated by really taking care of your clientele, I think the result was brands that did that, brands that reached out to their clients when there was no financial benefit to them to maintain them as clients, to communicate that we're in this together, those brands are going to fare better throughout this whole pandemic. Those brands are developing real clients, and they're making that connection very sincere and real. And that's inspiring, man. You know, like it's really cool to find out that in a time where everyone might be feeling really lonely, that mysteriously your gym cares about, you know,
Well, and I think too, we've talked about this on this podcast a few times, how a brand makes someone feel is always the most important thing, I think, but how a brand has made a customer feel here in 2020, they're going to remember that not just for the rest of this year and maybe into early next year, but probably for the rest of their lives.
Yes.
That, you know, I was so disappointed because I just showed up at my gym one day and it was just closed, and that was that. And then I had to fight to get my, my membership fee, returned.
Right.
Or did they reach out and say, here's what we're going to do, and we want you to have the XYZ gym experience wherever you are?
Yeah.
And I think the same with food concepts. You work with a lot of QSRs, I would assume. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We have a number of QSR clients. Yeah.
What do you see happening there when it comes to that building trust, making someone feel, I guess, safe is probably the number one thing. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think what we're seeing a lot of is, number one, you know, for the QSR industry in general, this is such an interesting moment, because QSR versus something like sit down dining or casual dining, where you're going to have a server and so forth, like casual dining, that section is getting real beat up right now. And that's going to be a minute before that comes back into true focus, I think. But QSR still has a role it can play in our daily lives, because I think, you know, from the personal experience, like, I love to cook, but I am tired of cooking, right?
Yeah.
So everybody still wants to have, you know, that product or that service or that brand in their lives and in their homes. And so obviously you're seeing this massive ramp up in curbside pickup, which is still a way that people can interact with QSR. So that's one piece. And another part is, obviously, when you're in the location, there's such a different dining experience. Obviously, there's reduced dining capacity, there's closed drink stations, there's aggressive cleaning protocols, and essentially, like, having the signage that really communicates to your clientele that you've done all of these cleaning protocols. Letting them know the steps that you're taking is a big thing that we're seeing. A lot of the products that we're offering and that we've developed, and we can talk about how we kind of pivoted in this time, but obviously social distancing floor decals, mask requirement decals. But I'd say the biggest change really has to do with the fact that the QSR experience now begins before you even enter the building. It begins in the parking lot when you are looking for signs to guide you to the curbside pickup, to direct you to what phone number you want to call. We have, you know, I frequent a business here in our town. It's a burrito chain, and you text them your license plate number, and I park in the lot at a certain spot, and someone just comes out. I kind of wish they had roller skates. It would complete the feeling, but they come out and they deliver the bag, and that's that. And off we pop, you know, but that person is wearing a t-shirt and that sign is branded, and it tells me that this experience, though weird, has been considered.
Yeah. Yeah. This isn't their first day doing this. I think exactly. That's the key for me is if you go somewhere and it feels like today is the first day of the pandemic and they haven't really worked these things out yet, that kind of makes me wonder about everything from how good is this and how clean is that place back there? If they're still working out the signs in the parking lot, like what am I about to experience here? So it's interesting that trust really starts outside. Mm-hmm. And that you're working with clients on developing that as well. Any other trends you're seeing, whether it's QSR or sit down restaurants?
Yes. Well, I mean, I don't know how surprising I'm going to be able to lay this on you because a lot of the problem is the same, and the way that the way that people are going about it is either thoughtful or not. One thing I can say is that what we're finding is that not only does it help with taking this measured and thoughtful approach to branding this particular type of signage, help communicate that brand to your client and create that trust that we're talking about, but it also helps reinforce. I hesitate to use the word compliance, but participation. I would say collaboration, right?
Right.
So when you're in one of these locations, a QSR, and so like just for example, one of our clients is an emerging client, an emerging franchise concept called California Tortilla. They have about 45 to 50 locations. They're a mid-Atlantic burrito chain. They're beloved. Their big claim to fame really is this extensive array of hot sauces that they have, which is totally cool. And we brought them on a little under a year ago, and it was they followed the typical client route for us, which is we had a really great period of discovery with them where we talked about their brand and their brand icons and how we can emphasize or de-emphasize certain elements of that. And we redesigned a number of the signage pieces, which I think we did a fantastic job on. I don't want to digress too far into examples, but the long and the short of it is when it came time to create the health and safety signage kit for them, we knew exactly what to do. And that was to take their brand icons and turn those into social distancing floor graphics. Mm. So their big brand icon is a avocado. That's their logo is a pitted avocado. When we started working with them, they had a channel letters, which is for non-signage people. You've seen them all over the place. Starbucks has them. It's essentially just like a metal box with an acrylic face in which there are lights and it lights up that face, right? So there was an avocado that was just like basically a black channel box that glowed this avocado front. And it was expensive. There it was almost like $3,000 for one of these, I think. And what we did is we talked with them about the role that played in their branding. This is their brand icon, the expense that they were encountering to do this thing that wasn't very impactful, didn't feel special. And what we did is we took that and reimagined it as this, I believe it's 4-tiered layered back glow illuminated logo. So we essentially took a series of different layers of PVC and cut them at varying smaller and smaller sizes until it sort of peaked at the pit. And then we lined each layer, which stood off about an inch from each other, with strips of LEDs. So that when you plug this in, you get this like four layers of glowing avocado that mounts perfectly to the wall, and you see no wires. And it's just this gorgeous, soft glow piece that cost way less than half of the channel letter and has far more impact. So we were able to really take that icon, talk with them about how they wanted to see it unfold in the space and how they could distinguish themselves with this brand icon. And over the course of, you know, a couple of weeks of trial and error and product development, we created this thing, which isn't based on any other design. It's a brand new design that was really cool. So when it came time to make the health and safety signage, we knew that we were going to focus on that avocado. So a lot of the health and safety signage pieces that we sell, particularly our floor graphics, are standard. I think it's like a 12 inch or 1 foot diameter circle that we add branding to and your Pantones, and it's a very high quality product. But for them, we knew that we were going to have to step it up even further. And we created social distancing floor graphics of that avocado that had their messaging on the inside. So that when you walk into a California Tortilla, instead of a bunch of blue painter tape X's on the floor telling you to stay away, you have this sort of treasure trail of giant avocados perfectly spaced that lead you on this journey, right? It's about a client journey from the front door to, you know, all the way through your order to paying. And it helps normalize that experience. Honestly, it really does. So I
love that idea of taking, something that's iconic for that brand. And in this case, fortunately, the avocado was already, you know, sort of the thing. And it just happened to be, you know, the most popular fruit and or vegetable out there right now. Now that the avocado is the icon for that brand, there's already an emoji when you want to text somebody about it that you can just use the avocado. But I love that idea of taking that and not having, as you said, you know, the generic blue tape that just kind of looks like, is this under construction? What is this? It looks kind of dirty. Or I go into some of these places that just have these frightening signs, you know, stay back 6 feet. You know, and it's like, if you give everybody that instruction, but have the friendly avocado as part of it, I think it just ratchets down the stress and anxiety, because that's something we haven't really covered, but I think, besides building trust, I think reducing stress for everybody right now, if you can do that, whether it's with your icon or some other signage or, you know, something in that location that just says, you know, everything's cool here, right? You're like, you are among friends. So
precisely.
Very good.
Yeah.
Tell us about any other brands that have some cool things going on, could be with restaurant signage and distancing, or is there anything else going on out there that you wanted to share?
Absolutely. Yeah. So within the QSR industry, we're also, one of our other major clients, I think within that realm is Rita's Ice.
Oh, and love Rita's. Yeah, sure.
They're fantastic. No better time, right? This is their peak season. They need it now.
A little warm back east right now. Sure. Yeah.
So they have hundreds of locations across the country, and we've been working with them for a bit now. And honestly, like part of this initiative for us is to do our part and to help. And I would, you know, we can talk a little bit, you know, in a minute about the store we created, which covers so many other industries. But within QSR, working with Rita's Ice, we started working together on these items. We had been going back and forth for like 3 to 4 months, which is, you know, not uncommon in a B2B sales cycle. But when the pandemic happened, they got in touch with us, you know, right away, because we had already done all of that discovery. We were in the conversation. It was clear that we were the right people to work together with them on this. And so taking their brand, taking their marketing, which is very well established, very extensive, it has its own vibe, you know, Rita Zeist, and
sure.
to be able to bring that into that space for them. And again, it's fun to your point, like, which I think it's a very insightful point that bringing that branding really does change that experience. You don't feel as panicked and you get, I think, more collaboration from people that may grumble about social distancing or may feel that, you know, have a different opinion about this pandemic than someone who's trying to run a business. And you get more collaboration and more, you know, buy-in when it's branded like that versus something you can dismiss like the Blue Painter's X.
Yeah.
And with Rita Zeist in particular, because their brand is so fun, it's so vibrant, and that their product and their experience is a celebration of summer, really. It's this like have a fun time. How do you make a sign that says stay away from this other person so you don't get infected with a life-ending disease?
Yeah, gee, that's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you make that a little bit of like, how do you make that pop, Jack? So that's what we did. We made it pop.
How did you make it pop? What does the visual look like and all?
Well, so I can send you an example of this as well, because I have a couple of photos from the production floor. But really, it's like it's one of those things where it's like it's the end of every great movie where it's like the secret was inside you this whole time. You know, like it really was like we worked with our marketing department and we worked through their Pantones and we really made sure that we were helping them communicate that marketing at the final end. So it's vibrant colors. It's pinks and blues. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, some of the font is written in almost like a chalk or a handwritten style, which it's obviously it's not handwritten like with like a Bic pen or a Sharpie in the back office as people are like, you know, standing outside. It just has this intentional, fun summer feel to it. And everyone is already in that space where they know the drill. You still want to try and have a little bit of summer. So I would say that it pops in a way where we just really use the natural sort of strength that the brand has to communicate that you're in a safe, fun place. This sucks. Everyone doesn't like this.
Yeah.
But let's have fun anyway. Let's try to make the best of it. And I think that's really where it kind of came together.
Yeah. And I love just looking at some of the imagery now. I can see how they can incorporate that. Again, it's, let's face it, it's comfortable, right? Yeah. To walk into a Rita's and get something that maybe you enjoyed many years ago, right? And I think there's something that brands like Rita's and, you know, other QSR brands and maybe some pizza brands and that kind of thing, they really have, like you said, the answer was inside all along. You know, they really have this potential of, you know, turning people around on, you know, come in and get something that reminds you of better times perhaps.
Yeah.
And I think any brand that isn't working with someone like you to kind of, you know, I'm guessing you kind of pull those things out of people when you're, you know, doing kind of an onboard or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, precisely. And it, you know, that's really one of the things I think that distinguishes us from other companies in the space, which obviously there are other printers, and God bless, like it's we are definitely not trying to compete with anyone in that space. And I think that in some level we're unique in this space, and it's for that reason. It's that discovery phase, it's that conversation, it's the consultation. And it's really, and if I, you know, to reach back into my background, which is another reason why, you know, I think I like this job so much, is that, you know, when I was selling, you know, suits and clothing, I was dealing with people who had very complicated, you know, feelings about their bodies and their perception in the world. And so let's talk about how you feel and how you want to feel. Let's talk about what your assets are and how can we help communicate those? Because I'm not here to add something to you that you don't want. I'm here to take what's beautiful and great and impactful inside of you and connect that to your client, connect that to your audience. And that, you know, that conversation, when we start having that, with our clients at the franchisor level, you see like this sort of crackle of light in their eye, mm-hmm. because this is, I can't tell you how many times I've been in a meeting with someone. They're like, that's exactly what I've been waiting to hear from someone without knowing it.
Nice.
And that's huge. Right. And so, you know, we're not, that's why I have to lean into, we're not a sign shop. We really are. We're consultants and we're brand custodians. Cause the other thing too, is obviously within franchising, consistency is the name of the game, right? That's the whole purpose. And so in that final mile, you know, are you really going to let, do you want your franchisees to go buck wild, running around town, having their cousin print something, you know, like,
Blue tape on the floor.
Exactly.
Dirty blue tape on the floor. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. Precisely. Yeah. I mean, it really is. It helps. That's the last mile of the brand. And that's the part that is of the experience that also not only the client's going to feel, but like that franchisee, that operator, I want them to feel pride when they go to their location.
Yeah.
You know, you would ask sort of, why do we do what we do? And, you know, I'm giving you a lot of language about that, but in reality, our clients come to us when they have two different inflection points. They are either opening a new location or they are retrofitting an existing location. Mm. And that is you making a debut to the world, to your clients. You are going out there on that stage and we're here to make sure you look your best and you feel right. That's why we do it. We believe in you and we want you to believe in yourself and have that confidence so that when you go to open your store, you're not looking at this sign that you cheaped out on that's fallen off the wall or peeling or wasn't printed with UV inks, UV cured inks. So it's fading immediately, you know, or it's wired incorrectly or any of that stuff. Like, I want you to feel pride. You did it right. You did it the best way. And you worked with people that cared about you.
You want them to look good when they walk out on that runway, right?
Yes.
To bring it back to the fashion.
Yes.
The fashion story. Yeah. Derek, we're going to be back in just a moment with some contact information in case any of our listeners have some questions for you or want to learn a little bit more about other stuff you guys are doing right now. But first, today's show is brought to you by Answer Connect. Imagine your customers and potential customers reaching a live person every time they call and never getting voicemail. Answer Connect is making that happen with a team of professional, upbeat, friendly customer service experts ready to impress your callers and deliver your messages around the clock. Answer Connect works with franchise systems, enterprise brands, and small businesses who need phones answered 24/7 in any time zone, a virtual receptionist, inbound sales calls handled, and appointments scheduled. Call Answer Connect at 800-584-0234. That's 800-584-0234 or visit answerconnect.com/franchise. Derek, thanks so much for being here today and sharing a little bit about what's going on inside, literally inside some franchise locations out there.
Yeah.
If our listeners have more questions for you or they want to learn more, where can we send them?
Northeastcolor.com. So you can go there. I'm sure it will be listed in the show. It's just one, one click away. That website will walk you through some of what we do, tell you about who we are. And if you would like to chat with me, I'm available, you know, more or less anytime. My email will probably be listed in the show notes, but it's dableman@northeastcolor. And all my contact information will be there. Really looking forward to helping businesses reopen right. I think it's all a matter of how this is going to happen, not
right.
necessarily when.
Derek, thanks so much for being here today. And we will chat with you very soon down the road.
Thank you, Jack. I had a wonderful time.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio. We're here to help you get yourself ready for the comeback of a lifetime. Copyright 2020, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.